All right, here we are with Conversations. And Lisa, I think we stirred some things up talking about sexuality. I think we should talk some more.
Well, yeah, I really love this idea that, you know, we were able to talk about some questions, but let's actually just talk about scriptures, because you and I can have given our opinions or our experiences all day long, but we need to know what our Creator says about it.
You know, can we just read a quick recap here of the stats that we shared? First of all, more than half, and we're talking 58% of the Americans have had a one-night stand. That's mind-blowing. In 2016, 67% of the respondents stated that they think sex between unmarried partners is morally acceptable.
Yeah, they didn't just say it happens. They said they didn't even just say it's normal. They said it's morally acceptable.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, it's one thing if you're doing something and deep down you know it's wrong.
No,
but
it's
for you to so sear your conscience now that you think it's morally acceptable, wow, this shows you that the dangerous waters we're in right now as a nation. According to a survey in 2005, people in the United States have had an average of 10.7 sexual partners.
Yeah, and that was 2005. I bet it's way higher now.
And then this is the most mind-blowing. In 2016, a survey was conducted asking Americans if pornography is morally acceptable or morally wrong. 34% say it's morally acceptable. That's one out of every three Americans say pornography is morally acceptable, and 61% say it's morally wrong, and there were a few other categories, but they were very minor. So we need to talk about the Word of God, because God is our Creator, and He knows what breaks us, and He knows what makes us whole. So let's dive in and see what the Bible says.
You know, I love 1 Corinthians 6:18 through 20. I'm going to read it from the ESV. It says, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside of the body. The sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Yeah, I want to talk about that, because there's a lot of ideas. First of all, it says flee from sexual immorality. Now, this isn't just youthful lust. Flee from sexual immorality.
That word flee, do you know what it means?
Run in terror.
Run in stark terror. That's exactly right.
And it was actually the same word that the angels used when they were telling Lot to run from Sodom and Gomorrah. They said, run in terror, flee. Flee means sexual immorality. So it would be pornography, adultery, fornication, any other sexual act. He's saying flee. And then he says, because when you sin, you are actually doing normally things outside of your body, but this is something you're doing with your body. You're sinning against yourself. And then he's asking a question that I think we actually need to ask again.
Can I ask that you would elaborate on sinning against your own body?
Yeah. So, you know, it's like a lot of sins are like gossip. Now, again, I'm not downplaying gossip, but it's sinning against other people. It's sinning against people in the body of Christ, but it's not sinning against my body.
So it damages other people.
It damages other people.
Right.
But this is one of those things that I'm actually damaging myself.
That's what I was hoping you would get
to. Yes,
there
you go.
So we damage our bodies.
Yep. We sin against our own body.
Sexual immorality.
Yes.
Wow. So
we're thinking we're doing what our body wants, but the Word of God says I'm actually sinning against my own
body.
And
what's amazing is psychologists, scientists, doctors are all discovering this very truth. And yet God told us so long ago. So that's why, if you're wondering, why are John and Lisa reading from a Bible that was written, you know, 2,000 to 3,500 years ago? It's because the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Culture changes. What's acceptable in a society changes. But God, our original Creator, doesn't change.
Yeah, and I love that he's saying here, maybe you don't know this. Maybe you don't know this, but you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He resides within you. I mean, he's saying it's not just you're sinning against your body, but you're carrying something holy, something consecrated, something God breathes inside of you.
The person who created the universe, who put the stars in the heavens with
his
finger.
The Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God.
You're sinning against him if you are a believer and you are sexually immoral.
Yeah, and then he goes to the next level and he said, you're not your own. So he's gone from, you've sinned against your body. Have you forgotten that you are carrying something holy? And then he said, you're not your own. You were bought with a price. So
So glorify God in your body. So how do we glorify God in our body, John?
Well, we honor him in obeying his word. And when we obey his word, we glorify him. We flee sexual immorality. And it's kind of like, think about it this way. You live in a house, but it's not your house. You rent the house. Okay? Your physical body, you get to rent it because you are not your own. You just read that. You belong to God. Your body belongs to God. So if I'm renting somebody's house and he owns this nice house and he's been gracious to let me live in it, and I go through there with spray paint and I go through there with an axe and I just destroy the house, how am I going to face that guy who I have just destroyed his house? Now, do you really want to face God one day and have to give an account of how you treated, you damaged your body, which was really not yours, it was actually his? You don't want to do that. So in the heat of the moment, when you're thinking about this, about going to that website with the porn, about committing immorality with your girlfriend, your boyfriend, would you please think, okay, the end result of this is I'm going to damage my own self. And one day, I'm going to have to give an account to the owner.
You're not damaging your own self because you've been bought by a price. So it to me, I mean, it's not so much that I'm afraid to give an account to God. It's that he entrusted me with something precious and something holy. And it's the goodness of God, not the fear of judgment, but the goodness of God for me that leads me to repentance. Because
right.
I've been bought. I've been redeemed. I'm not my own anymore. That's who I used to be, but that's not who I am now. And so I'm going to glorify God with my body. I'm not going to live in fear that he's going to be angry. I already know that, yes, I mean, I'm going to confess it and he's going to forgive me, but I'm going to move forward. I'm going to flee. And then I'm going to glorify God with my body.
You know, and I do believe both forces are very powerful. I mean, that we love God, we don't want to disappoint him.
Right.
But also, you know, the New Testament talks so much about there is a fearful thought of that judgment. You know, the writer of Hebrews, James, writes about it. And one day you are going to give an account of how you handled the body that didn't belong to you. And so I think that element, because I believe the fear of the Lord is to run from evil. It says that in Proverbs. So what should be both motivating forces that causes us to flee sexual immorality? Our passionate love for God. We don't want to disappoint the one we love. And secondly, we don't want to stand before this awesome, holy God and give an account of what we did, what was precious to him, what we did wrong against it.
Well, I also want to realize that the actual purpose for my body is to glorify God.
Yeah.
So that's why I would want to do it. And, you know, I know what you're saying. I just don't want it to be a fear motivation, because perfected love casts out fear. So we want it to be that they love.
Yeah.
And because they love, they tremble at his word. And because they tremble at his word, they honor God.
And I'm
going
to go another step. And this is what people love about John and Lisa. We keep, you know, challenging each other. But there is a healthy fear. So there's an unhealthy fear you spoke of, but there is a healthy fear. And Moses, in the writer of Hebrews, says Moses had that healthy fear in him of God so strong that he was exceedingly trembling. And Paul talks about work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So I think it's both forces in our heart, a very healthy, not scared of. We're not scared of God. We're terrified to be away from him. We're terrified to hurt his heart. That healthy fear also helps me. I know it helped me flee from sexual immorality.
You know, I love Galatians 5:16, and then also we're going to jump to 19 through 23 in the NLT. It says, so I say, this is Paul talking, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. So again, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's saying, let that Holy Spirit, let the temple be driven by the director of it. And then it says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, so to be the opposite of the Holy Spirit, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like this. And then he goes on to say, let me tell you again, here's John's fear factor, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then he goes on to say, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So he's saying you have this antithesis force to everything. You don't have to be driven by your natural desires or your sinful desires. You have the Holy Spirit's force.
Yes. And so following the Spirit, Here's the thing. There's two ways of trying to obey God. One would be, I can't, I shouldn't, I don't, I won't. That's going to fail 100% of the time. But if you have in you a desire to follow him, then you're going to be able to walk away from. So in other words, don't go through.
Flee from.
You're right. That's you'll have the ability to flee from, because you'll be motivated by your inward desire, which is redeemed and one with God, rather than what your sensual person, your body, craves. And I think that's why Paul said, hey, guys, you're Christians. Here's a part of being a Christian. Mm. You have to crucify the flesh and its desires.
Yeah.
You have to crucify mm-hmm. your flesh. Mm-hmm. So I want you to think about that. You know, Jesus said, the only way you can follow me is to deny yourself. Take up your cross. And deny yourself means you're crucifying your affectionate, your passions, desires that are contrary to God's word. So let me just make it really simple here, everybody. We're in a war zone, and the enemy is doing everything he can to mess us up. He wants to get you to go away from being conformed to the image of Jesus, because he knows the power of a person who is conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. The power and the fact that what they can do to his kingdom and change people's lives. Well, let's look at Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality, again, it's first on the list, and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints.
Well, what's really sad is we are hearing both of those things named among the saints a lot. There's constant scandal and question marks and impurity, and this is Paul saying that's not what the culture of the kingdom of God is supposed to be. It's supposed to not have impurity, immorality, and covetousness. And he's saying that's not proper, that's not healthy, that's not virtuous for people that are called the saints of God. So why do you think that's going on even in the church, John?
Well, I think, Lisa, I think we don't talk about it. If you don't talk about it, you know, the Bible says that we're to exhort one another daily, correct? Why does the writer of Hebrews tell us to do that? What are we supposed to exhort each other with? With what the Word of God says. Why are we supposed to do that? Because we live in a society whose flow is contrary to heaven. And the Bible, that writer of Hebrews says in the fourth chapter, he goes in the very next chapter and says, we got to pay very careful attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away. And Lisa, drifting never happens consciously. It happens subconsciously. So
subtle.
The fact that we're avoiding this issue, we don't talk about it from our pulpits on Sunday morning, it's not as important to us as, say, other things that are important to us now, which are important. It's all important, but I think there needs to be a balance. And this is a big area of life that obviously is a big, big issue in America. So if it is, why aren't we talking about it more from our pulpits?
You know, I agree with you. I think we need to talk about things openly that the world is not afraid to talk about. Why are we not talking about in the church? But then I flip question is, sometimes when people have come, this young man said that he was really wrestling with same-sex attraction that he did not want to be involved in. And when he came to people in the church and said, I don't want this in my life, then he was shamed and his heart was broken. So there's that flip side of, if people are going to come and talk, it has to be a safe place. We have to understand that homosexuality, adultery, fornication, masturbation, pornography, these are all things, people trying to meet valid needs in invalid ways. And so we want to create safe places for people to come if they actually do come to talk. And then we want to have everybody on the same page by saying it publicly.
And can I say in closing, because I think this is going to put a wrap on both of these podcasts, your identity is not found in your sexuality.
And or I think, your gender.
Or in your gender. Your identity is found in Christ. And if you would just get into the Word of God and find out who you are in Christ Jesus, remember, your Creator gave his life and suffered a really horrific death because of how much he loved you, because he wanted your identity to change from being a sinful being a person who doesn't walk with God, who can't walk with God, to being a person who is godly and holy and righteous, who can walk with God. And so your identity is found in Christ, not in your sexuality or your gender. Please remember that, because if that fuels you, you will be able to walk away from the other things that people are struggling with.
This is important subject. So sure, I love identity and I love truth. And if we can merge those two, people find freedom. So thank you so much for joining us today. You can write a review, subscribe, and feel free to share this podcast through iTunes. Until next time, we look forward to hearing from you.
Thanks for listening to Conversations with John and Lisa. Let us know your thoughts by leaving a review. And be sure to subscribe and share these episodes through iTunes. You can also connect with John and Lisa through Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Until next time.